Amen. Good to be back in the house of God this afternoon, isn't it?
Amen.
I'm thankful. I want to thank those men who have helped me out over the last few months. I'm standing in the afternoon, so I'm trying to get back up and do my duty as a minister here. And so I thank the students for did a wonderful job, and I thank you for being patient. I thank you for supporting me doing my surgery and my recovery. And thank God I got good men working with me who won't hold it against me when I can't do my job fully. So I'm trying to get back to full recovery. I'm about 80% recovered. I'm still on light duty and not long standing. I'm still restricted to long standing. But I'm able to get back in the pulpit in the afternoon. So I'm thankful, Brother Stroud and everybody else and all the ministerial class. It was good for them too, right? It was good for us. And so it's good to be here this evening. How many of y'all want to go to heaven? Y'all want to go to heaven this evening? Let's go to Revelation chapter 21 first. And I want to talk about who shall abide in tabernacle. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21 and the verses number 1. Look at the Bible says there.
And I saw a new heaven.
He said, and John said, I saw a new heaven.
And a new earth.
And a new earth.
For the first heaven,
and
the first earth were passed away.
And the first earth was passed away.
And there was no more sea.
There was no more sea. Read.
And I, John, saw the holy city.
John said, I saw something. What do you see, John? I see the holy city.
New Jerusalem.
That new Jerusalem.
Coming down from God.
Coming down from God.
Out of heaven.
Out of heaven. And that's that new Jerusalem. That new Jerusalem. That's us. One day God, Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back to get his bride. She's adorned as a bride. But I want to get this part right. Read on.
Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
She's as a bride adorned for her husband. Read.
And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying,
Behold. Look.
The tabernacle of God is with men. And he would dwell with them.
And God is the tabernacle. That's the word right there. The tabernacle of God is the place that we abide, that his children are going to be. And he dwell with them. And what else?
And they shall be his people.
And they going to be his people. This is heaven now. When we go back. And then Jesus is coming back one day. And he's going to take the children back home. And he's going to give up all rule and authority. And he's going to take the church back to the Father's house. That's why he told the disciples, let not your heart be what? Trouble. You believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house. A many mansion. Right there where we're going to be at in the tabernacle of God, where God will be there and he'll wipe away all tears from our eyes. That's heaven, right? Where the street is gold and the walls are jasper. And we talked about this morning, all those blessings that come with being a child of God and being able to get to heaven. I don't know about y'all, but I want to see that place. Amen. I've read about that place. Gates of pearl and walls of jasper and streets of gold, a street of gold and glass looking. Waters, pure waters. Oh, man, I don't know. I ain't never been in a place that it wasn't no nighttime. I ain't never been in a place where there was no evil, no people, no troubles, no stress, no hospital, no pills, no bills, no stress. Amen, somebody. I never seen a place like that.
Amen.
Lord, who going to get there? Who going to abide in your tabernacle? Who will go there? Who will be there when God says, no more tears, because I wipe away tears. Don't lose no mamas and lose no sisters. Amen. No more brothers dying in car wrecks. No more funeral homes, and no more caskets, no more dialysis, no more high blood pressure pills. Amen, somebody. Y'all don't understand what we talk about. We talk about dwelling in his tabernacle. Do y'all see that? That's what he said. Who will do that? Lord, who will abide? Who going to be there with you? Then he says.
And God himself shall be with them.
God going to sit there. God said, I'm in this tabernacle, I'm going to be with you.
And be their God.
And I'm going to be your God. Read.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
See there, it's written in your Bible. You believe in God? Jesus said, believe also in me. That's what he said. This you can believe. God is going to be there. We'll be there with him. Read on.
And there shall be no more death.
No death.
Neither sorrow.
Lord have mercy.
No crying.
How many of y'all done cried before? Huh? Oh, Lord. Sometimes we cry, don't we? And God is saying, look here, Tommy, there's a place. There's a tabernacle, Sister Tamer. This is why we put up with whatever we got to put up in this life. This is why we put up with whatever we got to put up. This is why we keep our cool under pressure. This is why we manage our lives. This is why we keep things, keep God first. We keep things in perspective because this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I join him in that land where tears nor sorrows can be found. When I receive my mansion, my robe and my crown. Man, I've been preaching about that place for 30-some years. And I see it in my mind's eye. I see that. And I ask God, God, who going to dwell? Who will live? Who will stay? Who will abide in the tabernacle? Who will be there? Amen, somebody. Will I see my mama? Will I see my daddy? Who will be there? Who makes it? I used to don't worry about what that. Who going to make it? The David wrote it in Psalms, the 15th division of Psalms. He said this in Psalms, the 15th. David asked the question. David said, Lord, who going to be there? He came out, and David, remember, he's going to give them things that are under the old law, which we can apply today. Just a couple few points, and the lesson is yours. But I ought to sit down now when you start talking about who want to go to heaven. Everybody ought to stand up and say, and the sanctified folk done took it from me. You ought to stand up and say, praise the mighty name of Jesus. I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. I want to see my God's face in peace. And then so David asked, Lord, let's talk to the people. Who is it? Verse 1, he said, Lord, who shall abide in that tabernacle?
Who shall dwell in that holy hill?
Who going to live there? Who will be in the holy hill? This is you know how the Bible talks about look unto the hills from which cometh your help. Your help cometh from God. The hill that we look at, the holy hill, is the holy land of heaven. And he's asking the question. And he said, here's who's going to be. Number one, this is a person who.
He that walketh upright.
The one who live right.
He walks.
Don't go over every point. You stay with me. Every time there's a comma, you do a pause. Ain't that what they teach y'all in English? Now, this is my reader, y'all. That'd be cool. Everywhere there's a comma, there's a what? When there's a period, there's a stop. Ain't that right, teachers? So everywhere I see a comma, I want him to do what? Pause. Because that's a point. This first point is, Lord, are we asking God a question? Lord, who's going to make it? He said, the one that what? Walking what?
Upright.
Walk right. You walk the talk. I mean, this ain't something you do. You go, you look at me, I'm a Christian. Hey, I got a sign on my back. Look at me. Woo. I'm a Christian with a bad back. You don't have to say nothing. Your walk speaks. You walk upright, which means you do what's right. You live what's right. You walk the what? Talk. That's what he's saying. You ain't got to brag about it. Just live it. Do what's right. Amen. That's what you do people right. You do things right. You do what's right in the eyesight of God. That's why he calls us righteous. Not because we're holier than thou. It's right to ask for forgiveness. It's right to ask for a second chance. It's right to go and say I'm sorry. It's right to say I did wrong. It's right to say I'm not all I need to be. Because I'm trying to walk what? Upright. I'm upright. When you're upright, you ain't got no business looking down on nobody. Because if you're looking down, you're looking in the wrong spot. You need to be looking up right. What's the next one? Who's going to go?
And work at righteousness.
And then I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to work. Not only am I going to just walk the talk, but you're going to see some action. It's one thing to talk. It's another thing to do. When I live right, I'm working right. I'm doing righteousness. I'm working righteousness. And I know this, action speaks louder than words. Sometimes you can talk too much. You just do what is right and let God get the glory. Amen, somebody. Give me another verse. Give me another comma.
And speak it the truth in his heart.
And then he speak the truth. Then you don't deceive himself. The person, he's not a person who don't know that. You can't walk around like you so pious and you got a halo on your head. You got to, somebody got on me this morning by speeding down a little yard. Now I got to listen to that. You go, forgive me, so Lord have mercy. You ask for forgiveness when you get caught. Or do you just ask for forgiveness because it's right? You ask for forgiveness because it's right, and you have to be honest. And I told her, yeah, that was me. And next time, I'm going to watch. What kind of car y'all drive? Because that's them tailors. They did. I'm going to watch for them. Yeah, but see, what we're going to have to do is get up a little earlier, so we ain't got to be late. I don't have to do no rush. But anyway, see, that's being honest. What he's saying is that you got to be honest, you all. We ain't none of us in here so perfect and got it so together that we can look down on anybody. I know I've messed up. You done messed up too. Ain't no big mess up and little mess up. It's messing up that we got to admit we done. That's why we confess our faults one to another. We said, Lord, forgive me. Jesus said what? John said, if you confess your sins, he's just to forgive. Honest people admit. Confession is not for God. He already know. A confession is to say, are you honest enough to tell me you sinned? Amen. So what's the first point? Walk it upright. Second point.
Work in righteousness.
Third point.
Speak the truth in his heart.
Tell the truth even when it's about you. So many people are in trouble because they lie to self. People lie to self. Let me tell you something else about being a Christian. When you lie to self, you fool self to believe that I can stay in this sin and go to heaven because you've lied to yourself. And if a man lied to himself, he's lied to his soul. So next point.
He that backbiteth not with his tongue.
And do what?
He that backbiteth not with his tongue.
That means don't backbite. Backbite, not mean backbite. So he said, who's going to go? Lord, those that stand right, those who are honest people, those who tell the truth about themselves, those who see themselves, you look yourself in the mirror, and then you know, you do not backbite. In other words, me and Brother Drew are brothers in Christ. If I got something I need to say to him, I need to say to his face. I don't need to go to Brother so-and-so over here and talk backbite. I'm talking about him. That's backbite. So we're going to keep it in the positive. What we say, we're going to watch how we talk about people. We don't get in talks about people. We say good things, and we talk good things, and we say positive things about it, and we have something to say that we need to say it in order to help them, not to hurt them. Amen, somebody. You can tell somebody they're wrong. If your motive is right, you will tell them they're wrong in a loving way, and they'll listen to you like they did me this morning. Now, don't make it just a preacher you get to tell all the time. Give me another one. Give me another comma.
Nor do it evil to his neighbor.
Now, he said, remember, he said, the two great commandments are you love God. The first one is love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. When I love God, he says, second to loving God is love my neighbor as myself. To get to heaven, you got to love God. And if you love God, you'll love your brother. If you love God, you'll love your neighbor. If you love God, you'll love your neighbor. If you want to go to heaven, you'll love God. If you want to go to heaven, you will love your neighbor. Let's recap them. First one.
Walk upright.
Second one.
Work in righteousness.
Third one.
Speak the truth in his heart.
Y'all see how many points we get out of five verses? Some of y'all, you understand. This is called expository preaching. Exegesis. Getting the stuff out of the text. Now we got a couple more.
He did.
No backbite. We got that part. Now read on.
Nor take it up a reproach against his neighbor.
Now here's a report. You want to say, I got a reproach against this brother. In other words, I'm going to find a fault with him. I'm going to have something wrong with the brother. Amen. And then they cause you to try to retaliate. Get them back. Do something to them. You got a reproach that's going to take you into an adversarial relationship with the individual. And those of us who love God and love our neighbor, there's not a brother or sister in this church that I should have an adversarial relationship. That I have not got a reproach. If I got a reproach against this person, that's going against God's will. And so we, because we don't do that, we love our brother. We talk to our brothers and sisters. We love them regardless of their faults, regardless of their shortcomings, regardless how much they fall. We still love them. We treat them as a brother and sister in Christ, and we love them anyway. You don't have an approach against your brother or your neighbor, you don't.
In whose eyes a vile person is contemned.
A vile is a filthy person. And so you say, you get somebody, we are in the Acres home. You can't get to heaven if somebody off the street walk in dirty clothes and they look disgusting to us till we back off. That's contempt. So what we have to do is understand this. God don't look at the clothes. He don't smell the filth. He loved the soul. You remember Lazarus and the rich man? Imagine the dogs licked his sores that he was at the gate of the rich man. But when they died, which one of them did Abraham come get? Or the angels, rather. It was the one that had a name. His name was Lazarus. You want to know why he had a name? Because he was going to dwell in the tabernacle. He was on his way home. God knew him by name. When he died, amen, amen. The nurses was his dogs when he was in this life because the people wouldn't help him. But God sent dogs, and they licked his sores. But when he died, you know one thing, I'm going to tell y'all something. I ain't gonna know, and I don't care who rolled Brother Brooks in to whatever building they're gonna do to the dead body. I don't even like to call it a funeral. The Bible said that everybody gonna come in and mourn. It's good. They gonna roll me in their box. But y'all know what? I ain't worried about what six bring me in and set me down. Y'all do all that flipping and flopping and crying. And then everybody gonna go back and eat chicken as soon as we finish. I just wonder why folk cut up in funerals and as soon as they go to the repast, everybody want a piece of chicken. Ain't nobody crying no more. Because they took me and rolled me out. And then they get to the cemetery, them same six people pick you up and walk you over. They'll call them pallbearers. You know what I'm telling you something about, Andrew? I ain't worried about who bring me in the building. I ain't worried about who's going to walk me to the place they're going to put me in the graveyard. I don't worry about them six men. But I want to know when I die if the angels got my body. Amen. Dude, the angels got my soul. I want to be like Lazarus. The angels going to walk me in the first class section of, amen. I want the angels to walk me in. And when I'm in there, I said, Lord, I made it to the tabernacle because there was God's angel. They came and got me and took me into paradise. And this is a good sermon for afternoon sermon. Yeah. Let me get another point for my back so hurting. Come on.
But he honored them that feared the Lord.
He said what? Now read that again.
But he honored them that feared the Lord.
Who honored them?
God.
Huh?
But he.
Go back again. Start at that verse again.
In whose eyes a vile person is contemned.
Okay, so the person who looks down on other people won't be in the tabernacle, y'all. Y'all, let me tell y'all something. We have to be careful how we treat each other. It's not going to always be the case that it's a poor, stinky person. It's just a person you can't stand. And you contemn. They're vile. They're disgusting to you. You can't go to the tabernacle. You got to love the most disgusting person there is in your life. It ain't always going to be the homeless man. It could be a good-looking sister or brother in the church who's clean cut, but because you don't like their personality, because you don't like something they done to you, because you can't forgive them, you can't go to the tabernacle. Lord, who going to buy? Who going, Lord? Who going to stay there? Then he says what?
But he honored them that fear the Lord.
Now, if he said here, the Bible says, Solomon said like this in Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We'll fear God and keep what? his commandments, for this is all due. You know why we should respect each other? Because we fear God and we keep his commandments. He said, you honor a man who fear God. You honor a brother or sister who come to worship, who stay for Bible class, who come back to afternoon service. The old folk fear God. You guys got it going on. And God is saying, when you got a person, when you got a man, when you got a woman who fear me, they gets honor. You know one of the most impressed people I am in this audience right now? Brother Clark. Brother Clark was baptized about a month ago. Brother Clark is faithful to some people who've been in the church 40 years. What I mean by faithful, he's serving his Lord. He serves his morning. And amen. Ever since he put him in the group, he'd been active. He came in. He said, I've been out there a long time. I came in this time. And that's what it, we should honor him. You should honor him. You should say, Brother Clark, we proud of you. You come into worship, man. You come into Bible class. He's an evening service. He's on the group meet. He's on Monday morning conference call. Brother Clark should be honored. Amen. Lord, who going to go? Who going to abide in the tabernacle? Number one, come on, class. You walk upright. Number two,
work in righteousness.
You do what's right. Number three,
speaking truth in his heart.
About who? In your heart means you're true to yourself, which means you're not fake. Don't fake being a Christian, because faking will make you miss the tabernacle. You be real, and you be real with God and real with yourself, you'll make it. Read on. Now read on. Give me my next point.
He that put it not out. I'm sorry.
Don't backbite. That's the next one. What's the next one? Don't do nothing wrong to your neighbor. Read on.
Nor take it up a reproach against his
neighbor. Don't go against him. Against him. Read on.
In whose eyes a vile person is contemned.
Don't look down on other people as if they are filthier than you are. Read on.
But he honored them that fear the
honor
Lord.
Honor those who fear the Lord. Now the next one.
He that swear to his own hurt and change it not.
The way they said it in Hempel, be a man or woman of your word. One of the biggest things I see in the church, people who are trying to get to heaven, they will say they're going to do something. Jesus said it like this, many, Brother Sean talked about how a large work for a few people. And there are people that's going to miss the tabernacle because they signed up to do things for the Lord and they didn't do it. Why? They wasn't a man or woman of their word. What's the next one?
He that put it not out his money to usury.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what? That these two go together with that one.
Watch. Nor take a reward against the innocent.
You know, amen, look here. Say you need $100. Might have to have $200 back. I'll give it to you though. Huh? Usury. I want to make interest on him. Now God done blessed me over and over and over again. God woke me up over and over and over again. I've been breathing his air over. Say it with me so you'll go to sleep. Over. Over and over. He woke us up over, over, and over. Amen. Gave you a job. Over, over, over. Paycheck came home. Over, over, over. Eating his food. Over, over, and over. And he ain't charged you a dime.
Amen.
Because he owned the cattle on 1,000 hills. If he owned the cattle, he owned the hill. He don't need you. But he said, more blessed to give. Here's my advice. Don't give. Well, let me get it again. Y'all, don't give if it ain't giving. Loaning and giving is two different things. That's usury. Well, God is saying, people who usury, take advantage when you've been so blessed. Sister, you need that? Yeah. I'll pay you back. That's okay. That's your word. But when I gave it to you, it don't matter to me what you pay at the back. I'm going to love you anyway because I'm not into the usury business. But you, if you want to be a man or woman, your word, do what you said you're going to do. But if you can't, don't worry about it. That's what you tell them. Man, don't worry about it. We got this thing. Between God and me and you, God know we all right. I'm all right with God. Whatever you can't do, I know God going to make up because God gave me everything I got. Everything I got, God gave it to me. Everything I need, God gave it to me. Every time I walk, God tells me my shoes, God. God gave my clothes, God gave my hair. I can see cook away. Well, that's good right there. Isn't that good? Man, everything I got, God gave it to me. That's something like that. Let me get this close.
He that doeth these things shall never be moved.
Now, you know, what did God say? Then he answered God. Here's how God answered. Then, whoever do these things can't leave the tabernacle. They'll never miss the tabernacle. You say, Brother Brooks, how does this apply to us? As children of God, we just do what's right. Tell the truth. Treat others as you want to be treated. Don't talk behind people's back. Don't misuse people. Don't look down on nobody. Because what you're trying to do is get to the tabernacle. I don't know about y'all, but I want to go to the tabernacle. Don't y'all want to go to the tabernacle? I'm scared to miss the tabernacle. I'm afraid to miss it. It's just another place called hell. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. That's why I come here every week. Every week. Every week. And I'll be like some of y'all. You sleep in the afternoon. That's all a little bit in the afternoon. Even while you're dozing, you get a little something, my guy. And then when I scream loud, you'll wake up and get you a few points out of it. And then I see you, too. I take my glasses off so I don't see who's sleeping. In closing, though, I hope the lesson is to you. That's what I hope. I hope the lesson is to you. You know, I think at some point in everybody's life, they ought to get serious about trying to get to heaven. You ought to get serious enough about it to make change and let the word of God work on your heart. You do that by understanding God loved you. He gave us a chance by giving his son. His son gave his life on Calvary. He gave his life so we could see the mansion. That's why he told his disciple, let not your heart be. You believe in God. Be also in me. Don't be troubled by heaven. Because in my Father's house are many mansions. He had all after being beaten, hung on an old rugged cross. He knew his disciples wouldn't understand his death. He knew they'd be troubled at heart. He said, but God got to go. And I'm glad he came and hung on that cross for me, suffered for me, shed his blood to purchase the church of Christ. That blood washed my sins away as it did Josh this morning in baptism. And the Lord added me to the body of Christ, that bride of Christ. He's coming back to get her one day. That new Jerusalem, he's coming to get her. He take her back to the Father's house where there are many mansions. Well, we'll be there. And God will wipe away, what? All tears from our eyes. Y'all got it? What's the first one? Two. Three.
Speaking the truth in his heart.
Four.
No.
Backbiting. Five.
Don't do evil.
Six. No approach against who?
Your neighbor.
Seven. Let's start over. Another 15 minutes on number seven. What was the name? Don't look down on other people as if they're filthy. Next one. Honor what? Honor those who fear God. Mm-hmm. What else?
Keep your word.
And do what?
Keep your word.
Be a man or woman of your word. And he said, if you do these, you shall what?
Never be moved.
You can't be moved. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other grounds
sinking sand.
It's sinking sand. That's a good lesson. You've heard the gospel. It seemed how he hung, bled, and died for you, suffered for you. Believe that with all of your heart. Acts 15 says, you hear the word of the gospel, believe, repent of your sin, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, be born of the water and of the Spirit, bear it with Christ in baptism. The water and blood will wash your sins away. And Lord, we add you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. And then you stay in the bride. You stay in her, that new Jerusalem, that holy city. Because he's coming to get her. Take her back to the tabernacle, the holy hill. And the tabernacle. Lord, who gonna be there? Those who obey God. Amen. When you come, as together we stand, sing the song of encouragement.